Thank you for listening to Servants for Christ. In all that we do and all that we say, we want to give glory and honor to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for tuning us in as we get into the wonderful Word of God. For the next few minutes, let's take the beautiful Word of God and share it with each and every one of you as we have a sense of anticipation to take the Word of God and to listen to its truth for each and every one. Thank you, Sunday school class. Thank you as we come together and as we continued our lessons on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Today, we're going to be talking about the ninth in our series of 12, the Holy Spirit's groaning. The Holy Spirit's groaning. This is the ninth today as we look at some of the things that we've already talked about. We've talked about scriptures of the Holy Spirit in Genesis chapter 1, Revelation chapter 22. We talked about who is the Holy Spirit, John chapter 14 and John chapter 15 that we talked about. And then we talked about the work of the Holy Spirit in part 1, 2, and 3 of John chapter 16. And then we also talked about what are the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and Romans chapter 12, and what is the fruit of the Spirit as well that we talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and Galatians chapter 5. And then we talked about what Christians do to the Holy Spirit in Ephesians chapter 4 and John chapter 16. And so this morning, our ninth lesson, as we look at it and begin to realize, out of Romans chapter 8, verses 22 down to verse 27. Here in our series, The Protector. Now, The Protector is a 12-series lesson on the Holy Spirit that covers Scripture, history, the who and what, the Holy Spirit, the work, the gifts, and the fruit of the Spirit. And so, the Holy Spirit is a protector of all Christians when fighting the enemy of faith. And so the Holy Spirit is a signet ring for the promise of God to us. It's a down payment, if you'll so to speak. The Holy Spirit is our spiritual trainer who helps us have inner strength that allows Christ in the deepest and in the darkest areas of our lives. And so the Holy Spirit is a distributor of the God-given gifts. And we learn about the protection that the Holy Spirit provides us in the life and death struggle that we are in against Satan, his demons, and his armies. Every piece of God's armor is needed to resist the enemy in the time of evil, so that after the battle, you're going to still be standing from everything. And so we look and we begin to realize that the Holy Spirit's groaning. Now, my focus out of Romans chapter 8, verses 22 down to verse 27 is verse 26, because it says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." That is powerful. That is powerful. You know, every one of us, when we look and realize that the Holy Spirit helps us in a time that we don't even know how to help ourselves. And so, open your Bibles up, class, to Romans chapter 8, starting with verse 22. "For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now." Goes on in verse 23. And now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. There's a lot of groaning, isn't it? Waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. In verse 24, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why does he yet hope for? In verse 25, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it? Verse 26, likewise the Spirit, other words the Holy Spirit, also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. The Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And lastly, in verse 27, and he who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the reading of the Word of God. Give us seeing eyes, hearing ears, open our hearts to respond to the Word of truth, and by the Spirit speak to us right where we are. Make us to be who you intend us to be. Everything that we do, we give glory and honor to Jesus Christ, because you deserve every bit of the breath that we can muster. You deserve every bit of the glory that we can give. Thank you for this young class and for the ability to read the Word of God and speak on it. Give us the ability in Jesus' marvelous mighty name. Amen. The Holy Spirit's groanings. Now, when we look at this, we begin to realize that that God does some wonderful things in our life. One weakness of this body is a lack of knowledge about God's will in every situation. And since the purpose of prayer is to open the doors for God's will to be done, how can we pray if we don't know His will? The Spirit helps us to overcome our ignorances. Suppose that God is freeing a Christian from his old natural ways through a series of trials. Seeing somebody out there suffering, I pray, Lord, deliver that man from his trials. But the worst thing in the world for that man would be deliverance from his trials before the work of God is completed, because that's the only thing that's working in the defense to help that person. And so we could be praying in opposition to the will of God in our brother's and our sister's life. And so we've got to enter the Spirit that maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And so, to God, the deep wordless utterances of heartfelt prayer aren't unintelligible sounds, but they're powerful supplications. God understands everything completely because the Spirit within the believer prays according to the will of God. Ain't that powerful? Those Holy Spirit groanings know how to pray the right way according to the will of God. And that is a very, very powerful thing when we don't even have the ability to do that. And so the Holy Spirit's mentioned 90 times in the New Testament, each reference giving us an additional information about who the Holy Spirit is. And so, in all of our studies, as we look in the New Testament about the Holy Spirit, we've looked at a lot of things of what the Holy Spirit does. And I mentioned them earlier of how gifted that we are. But the Holy Spirit illuminates the minds of people, and it makes us yearn for God, and it takes spiritual truth and makes it understandable to us. That's a quote from Billy Graham. And so here in this lesson, there are four ideas about the Holy Spirit that I'm going to be talking about. The Holy Spirit groanings. Number one, the Holy Spirit in prayer. Number two, the Holy Spirit in purity. Number three, the Holy Spirit with and perception. And number four, the Holy Spirit and power. There are four ideas about the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, as we look at those four ideas of the Holy Spirit, each and every one of us, as we get up every day, that Holy Spirit and prayer. Over the years, we've all had prayer partners. I know I have as a pastor. I've had usually a lot of older ladies in the church. Oh, thank God for all of them. Men and women of faith, they usually have a prayer partner that prays with them and they team up with. And it gave me a great confidence to know that these people through the years in church, especially these wonderful older women of God that were helping me in my prayers over the years. And even more important, they were lifting me up in their prayers. The New Testament announces an amazing fact, class, that we often overlook. We all have a prayer partner who is praying with us and for us at all times. Even before I came here, I've always had a prayer partner. When I came from Oakland Heights here to People's Valley, I've had a prayer partner who's prayed with me all of these times. Always older women, older men that have prayer partnered with me with the Holy Spirit. And I often wondered if religion, one of the quotes that I'll say is YouTube Bono said this. He says, "I often wonder if religion is the enemy of God. It's almost like religion is what happens when the Spirit has left the building." And so, every one of us, Paul expresses a truth most clearly in his letter to the Roman Christians. In the same way that the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit. This is awesome, because the Spirit intercedes for every one of us in accordance with God's will. Now, what exactly does that mean? Paul identifies two shortcomings that hinder our prayers. Number one, weakness. Number two, ignorance. Every born-again Christian has ignorance, and everyone has weakness. Weakness refers to our non-yet completely redeemed condition, living in a fallen world. When I was reading a while ago, and I read out of verse 22, that every one of us begin to realize that even creation is groaning, because everything that's been affected by Satan's rebellion and Adam's fall, that it groans and it travails in pain. And so all of the elements of creation to be brought back to their original perfection when God gets done. But right now, there's groanings. And we've been given a new nature, but the old nature still drags every one of us down this morning. We have been declared righteous before God, but we have not yet become righteous. We're not yet completely redeemed. That is our weakness. And our weakness prevents us from praying as we should. And so the Holy Spirit helps us. Paul says, that is, He prompts us to turn to the Lord in prayer. Anyway, He helps us in our weakness. Secondly, we see our ignorance. It refers to the limitations of our humanity that prevents every one of us kids from knowing what we need to pray for. We're limited in time, and therefore we cannot see the future. We are limited in understanding, and therefore cannot comprehend the future. Our ignorance stands in the way, and it prevents us from knowing what to pray for. And so the Holy Spirit helps us. Paul says, that is, He expresses these requests for us in unexpressed words. And the Father, who knows the mind of the Spirit, hears those prayers. Thank you, Heavenly Father. And He helps us in our ignorance. What a wonderful prayer partner that we have. Even though that I've always had prayer partners wherever I've been, whether it be Rope Mill Baptist Church, whether it be Park Street Baptist Church, whether it be Oakland Heights Baptist Church, whether it be People's Valley Baptist Church, I'm going to tell you something. Here we have a wonderful prayer partner called the Holy Spirit, the groaner of the Holy Spirit. And the biblical writers never explain exactly how all this works, but we can make this assumption. As we walk in the Spirit and we allow the Spirit to control our lives, then He will become our prayer partner who will stimulate us to pray. Oh, hallelujah. And then intercede on our behalf. And so the Holy Spirit in its groanings is our prayer. But also the Holy Spirit in its groanings is our purity. Because the New Testament repetitively declares that it is the purpose and it is the desire of God that we might be pure. Titus chapter 2 verse 14, the Bible says that Jesus gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. And so, Paul hit the nail on the head in Titus. You know what? Ken Crockett said, and I quote, he says, "You have probably been in a restaurant where the waitress has asked, 'Can I warm up your coffee for you?' And the cup may be half full and cold after sitting on the table for a while. But when she pours the new coffee in, she refills and warms up the cup. And maybe you're spiritually cold and empty. It doesn't have to stay that way. Quit trying to live in your own power and strength and ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit right now." Unquote. That's pretty good, Ken Crockett. And so, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, Paul gives every one of us a command. Do everything without complaining or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure and children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation. What does it mean to be pure? In simple terms, to be pure, it means to be different from those who live in the world and are characterized by the desires, by the actions, by the attitudes and speech that displease God out there. Paul began to express it like this in the Colossian letter, as I paraphrase a little bit of Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 9, because I don't have time to read all of that. Put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature, and then he gives you a laundry list of what these things are. Amen? So how can we become pure? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Romans chapter 15, verse 16 says, we are sanctified by the Spirit. And 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, and 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 affirm the very, very, very same thing. To be sanctified, it means to be set aside as holy and pure before God. Sanctification, then, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. And the biblical writers never explain exactly how all of this works. But we can make this assumption. As we walk in the Spirit, as we allow the Spirit to control our lives, then he will carry out his sanctifying work class in our lives, and we will become pure and holy before him. Galatians 5:16 tells us exactly that. Turn with me over there right now, over into the book of Galatians chapter 5. I don't have it marked, but turn with me, class, as we get over into Galatians chapter 5 and read along with me as I read Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. And the Bible tells us that we got victory. He says, this I say then, walk, other words, your behavior. He says, then I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know what? When we're in the existence of a sin nature in this as a believer, because of this old fleshly nature that we still have, it declares the consciousness of a corrupt desire. And so the only way to not fulfill the lust of the flesh is for our faith to be placed exclusively in the cross. And so the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's groanings and purity. But thirdly, we also see the Holy Spirit's groanings and perception. I'm glad that each and every one of us, the great Bible teacher of all time, R.C. Sproul, he said, and I quote, he is intangible and invisible, but his work is more powerful than the most ferocious wind. The Spirit brings order out of chaos and beauty out of ugliness. He can transform a sin-blistered man into a paragon of virtue, and the Spirit changes people, and the author of life is also the transformer of life, unquote. And so, I'm glad every one of us, as we go through life, God is at work all around us every day, but most of the time we do not perceive it because it does not come within the range of our spiritual senses and rays of understanding. And so, Billy Graham said one time, many people have come to Christ as a result of my participation in presenting the gospel to them. It's all the work of the Holy Spirit, unquote. Amen. I'm glad that every preacher is that way. Every teacher is that way. Thank God. God does all the work through the Holy Spirit. How can we perceive the work of God that is going on around us? That is the work of the Holy Spirit. Because Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, the Bible says that man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. So the Holy Spirit enables us to see things and understand things that we could not see or understand in our own human wisdom of understanding. The biblical writers never explain exactly how he makes these things known to us. I've done said that for the third time, okay? But we can make this assumption. I've said that for the third time, class. As we walk in the Spirit and allow the Spirit to control our lives, then he will reveal to us the very thoughts of God. Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. I love to hear them pages turning. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Amen. And here we see in verse 11, here it's talking again about the Holy Spirit. He says, for what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. And so, the spirit of a man can know some things about another man, but within itself it cannot know anything about God. But then he says, even so, the things God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Men cannot learn about God through scientific investigation or human reasoning, but only as the Spirit of God reveals such to every one of us as born-again believers. And so we talked about the Holy Spirit's groaning and prayer. The Holy Spirit's groaning and purity. The Holy Spirit's groaning and perception. But lastly, we talk about the Holy Spirit's groaning and power. Because the thing that we look at as we close on the Holy Spirit is the preeminent manifestation of the Spirit in our lives according to the New Testament witness. Every one of us, as we think about the Holy Spirit and power, there's a specific promise of Jesus to the disciples that he said, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, listen, class, Jesus told them, you will receive power in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Man, that's good. Two words for power in the New Testament. One of these words conveys the idea of authority. Authority. And the other conveys the idea of a dynamic force. It's the latter that Jesus used when explaining the benefit of the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would be like an explosion of dynamite in our lives. He produces power in our lives. Hallelujah. That's what happened to the first disciples at Pentecost. Man, buddy, the fire lit up, by George. They were afraid before Pentecost, but now they were courageous. They were timid before Pentecost. Now they were bold. They were weak before Pentecost. Now they were strong. And what changed them from discouraged followers to dynamic leaders? It was the coming of the Holy Spirit, bringing the power only God can give. Amen? And that same power, this morning in Sunday school, is available to every one of you kids. Many times we've been on our knees before God praying, God, give us power. But the New Testament, we already have God's power. Our prayer needs to be, God, enable me to experience your power that is already present in my life. How do we release the power of the Holy Spirit that is already present in our lives? Huh? Somebody? Anybody? Well, the biblical writers never explain exactly how to make it happen. But we can make, for the fourth time, I'm saying, this assumption. As we walk in the Spirit and as we allow the Spirit to control our lives, then the power of the Holy Spirit that is in us will manifest through us. And so, as we've talked about this morning in our class, about the ideas of the Holy Spirit's groaning, of the Holy Spirit's groaning in prayer, the Holy Spirit's groaning in purity, the Holy Spirit's groaning in perception, and the Holy Spirit's groaning in power. Each of these, we connect with the Holy Spirit. We engage the Holy Spirit by walking in the Spirit and allowing the Spirit to control our lives and experience that New Testament that the writers describe in the terms to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so, every one of us, we're how we can be filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit is something that's very powerful. First, we must believe the Holy Spirit exists. That's a problem with many Christians because they cannot see the Holy Spirit. They do not think that He exists. But before the Holy Spirit will fill us, we must believe. Listen. We must believe that the Holy Spirit exists and that He wants to fill our lives with His presence and power. Number two, we must desire to be filled with the Spirit. And in the Beatitudes, Jesus said, whoever hungers, whoever thirsts after righteousness will be filled. And so, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we must not only believe that He exists, we must be willing to ask God to let the Holy Spirit fill us and control us. But thirdly, we must be willing to renounce all known sin. As a glass filled with dirt cannot be filled with clean water, even so, the life filled with unconfessed sin cannot be filled with God's Holy Spirit. So, if we will confess our sins, the Bible says God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness in 1 John 1:9, right? Then and only then can we be filled with the Spirit. And so, fourthly, we must decide each day to appropriate the Spirit who is available to us. Romans chapter 8, verse 5, those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what the nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. And so, both the Spirit and the flesh are resident within each of us as born-again believers, and the struggle between these two forces, it simmers beneath the surface every single day. So what does that mean? We're carnal. And it simply means that we're human. We have to decide every single day when we get up, not only do we put on the armor of God, but these two forces that we'll give into, that we may make determines the quality. It may determine the motivation. It may determine the focus of our lives. If we decide to live according to our sinful nature, we're going to set our minds on what that nature desires. On the other hand, if we decide to live according to the Spirit, we're going to set our minds on what the Spirit desires. Every day, each of us must make that choice. And here is the promise of Scripture. If we choose daily to live according to the Spirit, then the Spirit will shape our lives more and more. More and more. That's daily prayer for each of us as we go through life. And so, every one of us, the Holy Spirit is your guarantee of all that is to come. It's the life of every believer, praise God. The first fruits, which is the agricultural term that refers to the representative bundle of grain stalks that would have presented the potential buyers as evidence of the quality of the entire harvest of our life. Every one of us, in the same way, the Holy Spirit is our first glimpse into the future that God has planned for His people and all of the things that we experience through the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and so on. These are like an early glimpse of what eternal life will be like. The book of Numbers, as the people of Israel were preparing to take possession of the promised land, Moses sent some leaders from each of the 12 tribes into the land of Canaan to explore the territory and to report back what they found. When they reached the valley of Eshcol, they gathered some grapes, they gathered some pomegranates, they gathered some figs to take back with them to show to Moses and the entire community. Their message was, this is an example of the kind of fruit that freely grows in the promised land. Compare that to our current desert menu of the world around us today. That is what we have to look forward to, because it's the same with the Holy Spirit, that He gives us the first glimpse of what life will be like in God's eternal kingdom. Hallelujah. Life on earth today is far from perfect, but through the Holy Spirit, we get a foretaste of the joy, a foretaste of the peace, a foretaste of the power, a foretaste of the freedom, a foretaste of the contentment that will be ours for all eternity. Boy, go on out, sit on the porch sometime and spend a little time reading the Word of God and enjoying the quiet afternoon. And it's the perfect spring day that we live outside in the South that we could tell you about. The sound of all the birds singing, the warmth of the sun, the gentle breeze, the scent of the honeysuckle, and thinking about all of these. How can heaven be better than this? Listen, class, at that moment, when our life may be perfect in every aspect, of course not. It's not. Even though everything I just described is beautiful, sitting out on the front porch. But God was giving us just a momentary glimpse into the kind of joy that is coming our way in the future. When we spend time with friends, when we fellowship together, God's given us a glimpse of the life that is to come. When we experience victory, God has given every one of us a glimpse through those groanings, a glimpse of life that is to come. Here's that first fruit. Here's a sample of what you can expect the harvest to be. And I thank God, every one of us, as we go through life, that the Holy Spirit is your guarantee of all that is to come. And the Holy Spirit is your guide through the challenges of daily living in us. And so, it says that we groan inwardly with all creation, right up to our present time. Paul is saying that life here on earth isn't easy. And we may look forward into the future to a life of eternal happiness in the presence of Jesus. But in the meantime, we groan, we suffer, we struggle, just like Paul talked about in Romans chapter 7, where he keeps losing the battle to sin. Where does our hope of victory come? In the power of the Holy Spirit, who not only gives us a glimpse of the sweet by and by, but He gives us the strength that we need to thrive in the ugly now and now. And so the Holy Spirit is not merely described as a guarantee or a deposit for our inheritance. He's also described as a counselor. He's described as a teacher. He's described as a guide. Amen. I will ask the Father, He'll give you another counselor or a guide to be with you forever. That's the Spirit of truth that John 14:16 talks about. And so, He counsels us, He teaches us, He confronts us, He guides us, He empowers us, He equips us, He gives each of us a gift that we can use in service to others. Watchman Nee, the Asian that was imprisoned all of his life for living for Christ, he said, many saints cannot distinguish inspiration from emotion. Actually, these two can be defined readily. Emotion always enters from man's outside, whereas inspiration originates with the Holy Spirit in man's spirit. And so, unquote, life isn't easy. So God gave us the Holy Spirit to give us all that we need to get through it all the way to the end. Without His help, without His power at work in our lives, we end up saying, oh, wretched me. But through His power, through His presence, we're able to say, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit of life set us free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. And you cannot navigate this life on your own with any hope of lasting victory. You may scrape together a few wins here and there. You may pile up a few possessions, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the kind of victory that fills your life with joy, with contentment, with hope, even when things don't go your way. The kind of victory that bounces back from defeat. The kind of victory that sustains you through hard times. You'll never have that on your own, ever, 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 as a Christian. But let the Holy Spirit take control of your life, class, and He'll lead into the truth. Everything that you need to know. He'll surround you with the people you need to meet. He'll give you the gifts you need to put into practice. He will fill you with the power that you need to overcome. A.W. Tozer said one time that the Spirit-filled life is not a special deluxe edition of Christianity. It is part and parcel of the total plan of God for his people, unquote. And so, I'm glad that every one of us, when we go through life, we need to begin to realize that God, what the Holy Spirit does in your life, it not only does he give you joy and peace and contentment, but he also teaches you what you need to know. He guides you where you need to go. He brings the right people across your path, even the books you need to read, the teachings you need to hear. He puts you in the right situation. He didn't know, hey, the Holy Spirit brought you in this Sunday school class this morning. He opens the right doors. He closes the wrong ones, praise God. He walks with you through life's journey. If you'll learn to hear his voice, follow his lead, you can experience more victory than you've ever experienced, because the Holy Spirit is your guide. And so, all of the characteristics of the groaning of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is your guarantee of all that is to come. The Holy Spirit is your guide through the challenges of daily living. And also, in closing, the Holy Spirit is your go-between when you're not sure what to say or do. Because every one of us, that is the thing that we read out of these verses, verses 22 down to verse 27, that we're able to do things that we could never do because of the Holy Spirit looking out for us. And so, when we ask for small things and silly things, the Holy Spirit takes our words, he edits them, he translates them according to the will of God. Hallelujah, ain't this good? Woo, praise God. This might be Sunday school, but hallelujah. Man, this is good. Every time the Holy Spirit translates things for us. And so, of all the things that we go through, you might be needing a decision to make. The Holy Spirit helps you make the right decision. You can pray, you can fast. You can do all the things that you need to do. You can anoint the doorpost. You can do this and do that. But the Holy Spirit's the one that makes it happen. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He prays for you. He intercedes on your behalf. And when you have no idea what to say, oh man, the Holy Spirit takes over. And so, he does things that no one else can do for you, because that Holy Spirit's the special advisor. That it steps in, it helps you in your weaknesses that I talked about and all of the things earlier. It helps you with your weaknesses. It helps you with your ignorances of all the things that I was talking about earlier. That's what the Holy Spirit is so good at doing in helping every one of us as we come to this time in our life, amen, that as we look at all creation, including God's people, that groans for the future, praise God. Every one of us, between this day and that day, we've got a life that's ahead of us. And the life, the Holy Spirit, is all you need to live a victorious Christian life, because he gives you all that you need. And so, yield to him this morning. Ask him to fill you with his presence. Ask for his leadership. Ask for his guidance. Ask for his countenance, his comfort, his intercession. And whatever you lack, ask the Holy Spirit to provide it. And he will do it, because he's your paraclete. He's your personal advisor. He's here to see you through the ultimate graduation. He's all the way to eternity in the presence of Jesus with you, because he does all things that no one else could ever do. No one else could ever touch. That's what the Holy Spirit does the best of all for each and every one of our lives. Father, thank you for our Sunday school this morning. Lord, give us hope as we look forward to the glory of Jesus. Help these young kids understand the Holy Spirit. I believe today was a marvelous lesson. And we realize that the hope of glory sets before us, and one that is grounded squarely in the faith of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, class. Let's get ready for our morning worship hour as we leave and go. God bless you. Thank you.